Looking for a job isn't easy. It used to be that you could apply at a big name tech company and build a great career for yourself. But times have changed. Many of these companies have gone full woke. And if you aren't the right gender, ethnicity, you don't use pronouns, or if you're not an activist for the preferred cause, then good luck. Why would you risk your career on that? At Red Balloon, we're connecting good employees with top quality companies that value you for your skills and your work ethic, not your social activism score. Employers who post jobs on Red Balloon are focused on creating an enjoyable and productive work culture, free from divisive woke mandates. So if you want to find a serious career path without the nonsense, come to Red Balloon and post your resume today. Because you shouldn't have to choose between your job and your values. That's redballoon.work, where you can find your future.
Years ago, when the LGBT agenda was lobbying for equal marriage rights, they assured us all they wanted was equal treatment. Any claim of a slippery slope was disregarded as a right-wing conspiracy theory. Well, as it turns out, the last 10 years have been flying down an oiled-up slippery slope at breakneck speed. Equal rights turned into acceptance. Acceptance became forced tolerance, and tolerance has now become being punished if you dissent from the prevailing opinion. Now, as we careen to the bottom of the slope, we see the real end goal, which was always the play. Sick and evil people who desire to have sex with children, with the indoctrination and sexualization of those very same children. Led by the UN, which has advocated for decriminalizing sexual activity with minors, they have released its sexual and Marxist propaganda and will show you what these gargoyles have really wanted all along. We want to expose this evil and help you protect your children from this satanic agenda. It's April 25th. I'm Andrew DiBartolo. That's Matt Halleck. And this is the Liberty Dispatch.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Liberty Dispatch, broadcasting across enemy lines into the Canadian culture war. We're so thankful that you have joined us yet again on the program, and we would ask wherever you're getting our stuff from that you would like, subscribe, rate, and review so our content can get out to more people. It helps us continue to grow and develop our network so we can get more of our content to more people who desperately need it in this time of this drastic culture war in Canada. We're also on the FLF network, the Fight Laugh Feast network. That's flfnetwork.com. And you can get us also on demand straight on your phone on their very nifty, very handy app, the FLF Network app, which you can get at the Google Play or Apple App Stores. Also, all our content is over at our website, libertycoalitioncanada.com. That's libertycoalitioncanada.com. We would just ask that you would go over there, that you would check it out. And while you're over there, please consider signing up for our email list so you can stay in touch with us. You can avoid being canceled by some of these big tech programs. We can communicate with you directly. And also, while you're over there, please, if you would, consider leaving a donation to libertycoalitioncanada.com/donate. You can scan the QR code. You can help us with our partners in media, Christian Week, continue to bring news and analysis to you where we're exposing the entirety of the leftist globalist agenda and its sickness, its disturbing nature. We're getting below the floorboards here, so we would appreciate, if you appreciate our content, that you would leave a donation over at libertycoalitioncanada.com/donate. Andrew, here we are, mailbag at libertycoalitioncanada.com. What's the question for us today?
So the question for our audience today is, when did you realize that this was about more than just equal rights and marriage rights? Was it right away? Did you see this play from the beginning? Or was it when you started to hear stories about bakers and photographers being forced to participate in sodomite unions? That's the question. When did you realize it? When did you realize that this actually wasn't just about, hey, just accept us for who we are, but it was always about something more than that, that there were always plays? And maybe you were well advanced and you happened to read Behind the Ball? Is that the name of the book?
After the Ball, yes.
Maybe you read After the Ball. Maybe you were aware of what was going on 80s, all the way back in the 90s. Maybe when you saw Will and Grace, you realized, hey, wait a minute, are they trying to make it so that this is just a normal thing, even though it's not? So that's what we'd love to know. When did you realize that this was more than just a, hey, we want to be able to have the same equal rights play? And then, as always, you can, you know, when you reach out to us at mailbag@libertycoalitioncanada.com, please feel free to ask your own questions, other comments, other criticisms. And if they're really, really good, like really, really spicy, witty criticisms, then we will definitely bring them into our mailbag segment, which we hope to do again this Thursday. And Lord willing, we want to devote every Thursday to a little bit of a mailbag segment. So while we're talking about current events, we need to talk about what's happening in economic current events. So in light of the recent bank failures in the United States, you may be asking yourselves, what can I do to protect my assets? If this is you, and I'm sure it's many of us, I had a couple conversations with people over this last weekend about this very same issue. I want to encourage you, as I encourage some friends over this weekend, to give our friends over at Rocklink a call. The new Rocklink Kokomo Fund is an offshore investment product that will allow you to protect your non-registered assets by holding them in the world's premier offshore market, the Cayman Islands, and in some of the world's highest quality businesses. It's a powerful way to both protect and grow your assets. If this is you, if this is something you're interested in, then please call the folks at Rocklink at 905-631-5462 or send them an email, info@rocklink.com. That's info@rocklink.com. So what we want to do with our episode today is we want to highlight this absolutely despicable report or document that's been put out by the UN. And we want to just bring it out to the front. And then what we want to do is we want to devote the rest of our episode to saying, how did we get here? Now, we're not going to do a historical survey over the last 20 years, but what we're going to do is show you how with other stories that are presently happening, things that have been going on in the last year, 2 years, there's a little bit of a mix of very recent news and some news in the last couple of years. We want to show you the intentional play. This is how it's been building, that you have to do this, then you do this, then you do this. And then the end result is what we see with the UN, which we know this is what all the progressives want in every nation. This isn't just the UN. This is the play, because these sick, twisted people that deny the image of God and deny God's good and gracious norms for marriage and sexuality, they want to worship themselves and the creation and do all sorts of stuff. So, you know, you have to sexualize children and normalize sexual sins. We'll look at that. That this indoctrination leads to children accepting these things as normal. They believe these false realities themselves. And where does it go? Well, where it goes is very evil people wanting to have sex with children and building a path to that end. So here comes the UN to help pedophiles get what they want. So what we want to examine is something the UN rolled out, and we have links as well. It's called the 8 March Principles for a Human Rights-Based Approach to Criminal Law, Prescribing Conduct Associated with Sex, Reproduction, Drug Use, HIV, Homelessness, and Poverty. So they have some other Marxist stuff. They talk about drug use, HIV, poverty, but really it's the UN's way to make pedophiles very happy. That's what they should have called this report. The UN's way to make pedophiles very happy. So this is in the preamble. This is the introduction of this document. Quote, the principles are based on general principles of criminal law and international human rights law and standards. They seek to offer a clear, accessible, and workable legal framework, as well as practical legal guidance on applying the criminal law to conduct associated with, one, sexual and reproductive health and rights, including termination of pregnancy, two, consensual sexual activities, including in contexts such as sex outside of marriage, right? Same-sex relations, right? Adolescent sexual activity and sex work. Wait, hold on, time out. You can't just sneak that in, but that's exactly what they're doing. So fornication, sodomy, and now teenagers being able to have sex and sex work. And then fourth, gender identity and gender expression. Just kind of fit in there, right? So it would be like that. That would be like me saying, let me tell you about my favorite flavors of ice cream in order. Okay. So my favorite flavor, this is me personally, don't judge me. Okay. My favorite flavor of ice cream is probably banana. It's an Italian thing. Banana. It's very good. Lemon ice is good. Right. There's a flavor that's like Nutella. And then number four would be camel feces. And then number five would be mango. You would look at me and think, wait a minute, hold on a second.
What?
You can't just sneak that one in there.
One of these things is not like the other.
You can't just sneak that in there and say, oh yeah, well, just that's understandable. Now, obviously this whole list is vile, but the fact that they just throw that in should be exceedingly alarming. But it gets worse than that. They don't just say that. They want to help us understand how there should be legal backing to this as well.
Absolutely, Andrew. The document actually gets even more explicit, and it reads as follows. At a minimum, consent sets the boundary between justifiable and unjustifiable state interference in certain conduct and context, and that ascertaining the presence or absence of consent is a matter of evidence and factual investigation with due regard to the strictures of the law and one's capacity to consent. Acknowledging that the absence of consent may give rise to criminal liability for the conduct concerned. Emphasizing that with respect to the application of criminal law in connection with consent, international human rights law requires paying the regard to B, adolescents' evolving capacity to consent in certain contexts, in fact, even if not in law, when they are below the prescribed minimum age of consent in domestic law. Ooh, okay, it continues. With respect to the enforcement of criminal law, any prescribed minimum age of consent to sex must be applied in a non-discriminatory manner. Enforcement may not be linked to the sex and gender of participants or age of consent to marriage. Moreover, sexual conduct involving persons below the domestically prescribed minimum age of consent to sex may be consensual, in fact, if not in law. In this context, the enforcement of criminal law should reflect the rights and capacity of persons under 18 years of age to make decisions about engaging in consensual sexual conduct and their right to be heard in matters concerning them, pursuant to their evolving capacities and progressive autonomy. Look at this language. Persons under 18 years of age should participate in decisions affecting them with due regard to their age, maturity, and best interests. Now, Andrew, pray tell, does this come to us in a vacuum, or does this come on the heels of countries around the world trying to suggest that mature minors can mutilate their bodies, can take, do radical surgeries that either leave themselves infertile, castrate themselves, radically mutilate their own bodies before they're 18? And does it also come in the context of now people who are very much along the globalist elites lines, like the UN, saying that children who are mature minors, even to the age of 7, can assist or demand or consent to being killed through so-called medical assistance in dying? Is that the context that this comes in, Andrew? And if that is the context, wouldn't that same logic apply to sexual behavior? So if I'm using the transitive principles correctly of logic, wouldn't this kind of mean that someone potentially as young as 7 could consent to sex? If they can consent to literally being killed, why not something way less significant like sexual activity? Is that what I'm to understand? What's going on?
Now, if people, Matt, so if people hear you say that and they go, come on, they're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Right? This is the reality. People who hear you say that, does this mean that they're going to try to say that a 9-year-old could consent to sex? And people hear that and say, that's ridiculous. Slippery slope.
Yeah.
Right? Straw man. We're not talking about that. Right. But were we talking about this 5 years ago? Like, look from whence we have come.
Exactly.
The idea that it's – and this is a discussion that I had with a number of people after the convoy ended in the freedom movement, in this broad freedom movement, when they found out, hey, he was a pastor at a church and he was there doing protests. Hey, maybe I'm going to check out this whole Christianity thing.
Yeah.
They would reach out to me. They would ask questions about my church. Mm-hmm. And inevitably, they would ask, what's your stance on LGBT stuff? Mm-hmm. To which I would reply that God has designed marriage and sex for one man and one woman in faithful, covenantal, monogamous, lifelong marriage. Anything else is sinful. And what they would say to me is, you're a bigot. You're as bad as Trudeau. You're why can't you? You want to tell people what they can and can't do. To which I would reply, oh, so I guess it's okay for 30-year-old men to have sex with 13-year-olds. And they would say, that's not what we're talking about. And I would say, at
well,
least
now
in
the
my
UN
mind,
is.
Yeah, you're a fool.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly where this is going.
Yeah.
So anyone who's squeamish about what you just said, or anyone who's like, no, that's not going to happen, clearly they are the same kind of people to which Jesus would reply. You look at the weather, you can understand this, you know, when you understand that this means this, but you don't understand something as big as this, something as massive as this, that's their ailment.
Yeah, and we're talking about realistically not 7-year-olds initially, but we are talking
that's
about
the key word initially.
We're talking about certainly circumventing, right? Because they love saying, if consent, in fact, if not by law. So what they're trying to do is they're really trying to destroy the idea of statutory rape, right? That consent is it is the be all end all, which is more of an existential.
The idea of, with due regard to their age, maturity, like it's even when we were talking about doctor assisted murder last week. Well, what's a mature minor? Someone who can make a decision, can make a conscious decision. What is that?
And
mean?
It's completely
so
arbitrary.
Vacuous.
Yeah, it's completely arbitrary, and that's essentially what consent is. And it's a hard standard to enforce because it's not normative. It's existential. It's subjective, and that vagary in law is really, really dangerous because it can, you know, lead to all sorts of abuses in law and dangerous circumstances. Because I mean, we've seen it, right? What was that film producer, that scandal a long time ago? I can't think of the name. He's a Polish guy. I'm sure it'll come to me eventually, but he was a huge Hollywood film producer, still won an Oscar after, being convicted of, forcibly having anal sex with a 16-year-old girl, and he was like in his 30s or 40s. You know, it's that type of behavior that these sorts of laws are going to try and suggest is if consent can be proven, or at least there's reasonable doubt that consent was given at that time, that action is an appropriate action to be taken by a much older man.
Roman Polanski.
Yeah, that's the guy's name. Thank you for looking that up. It was it's not Polanski.
I felt dirty just doing it.
Yes, no, exactly. But this is the fact of the matter is, this is also coming on the heels of what? Of Jeffrey Epstein. right? We know more and more and more that there is a cadre of elite people who are grooming, predatorily grooming underage teenage girls to perform sexual activities on themselves, on their friends. And in the case of Epstein, he was using that as a way to blackmail people to broker power and get himself rich. Like, so it's really important that in this day and age, we're not lowering the standard, but we're heightening the standard. We're being more vigilant. But what the UN's calling for is essentially the enactment of a law that would make it more capable for men like Jeffrey Epstein to get the sex that they so desire. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing this over and over and over again coming from the cadre of elites. We touched on it during the WEF. What did we see? A spike in sex work, and sex workers go to the Davos group so then they can have all sorts of sex with in illicit behaviors. This is a horrible, no good, very bad precedent that is being set. Mm-hmm. But we can only get to this point where the United Nations is putting forth the lowering of sexual consent laws because we have so normalized deviant sexual behaviors that something like this, they feel like they can come out and just talk about this. And that's what we have to talk about for the rest of the program is how did we get here? Like you said, we're not going to trace the entire history. We've done much of that work in the past in other episodes, but we're going to show this is how the play is run. And these are some recent examples that we can show that this is how it's going.
And we'll probably touch on this a little bit more toward the end of the episode, but I'll say here, the play is actually threefold.
Yeah.
Okay. So the threefold play is one, disgusting, evil people who want to have sex with children. That's one part of the play. The second part of the play is this. The gargoyles on the other side of this, right? So the LGBT mafia, they obviously can't have their own kids. So what they're doing is they're coming for the kids who are the product of the way God has designed marriage and sex to work, right? They can't reproduce, so they have to recruit. That's the second part. The third part of the play is this. The reason why we see this push to not only sexualize kids, but to have them trans, to mutilate their own genitals, to take chemical castrating hormone blockers, is because what they want to do, being a death cult, is they want to rob children, one, of their ability to create life around the prime of their reproductive stage of life. And two, by doing this kind of massive damage to them psychologically, by being the victims of abuse themselves, you're basically you're either going to see incredible spikes in suicide or just their lack of ability or desire to reproduce. It's all about death. It's this weird thing where it's all about death. Mm-hmm. It is about eliminating the ability and the desire for kids who will soon be entering the prime of their sexual reproduction, 18 to 25. Mm-hmm. And it's about saying, let's just eliminate it. So let's kill them now, or let's eliminate their ability to create life. This is the three-prong play. We'll get into a little bit more. We'll look at, like you said, Matt, what has brought us to this point? How is it that, and we still see it going on, the normalization, the sexualization, the getting kids to believe it themselves. Mm-hmm. We're gonna unpack that in a bit, but Absolutely. We need to talk first about our friends over at Bull Bitcoin, who, if you watch the show and if you're friends of the show, you probably understand more and more people have been contacting Bull Bitcoin in light of what's happening in the global economic world, in light of what we see with CBDCs and digital ID, even just the value of Bitcoin going up. So 3-4 months ago, you're like, Bitcoin's at an all-time low. I shouldn't buy. Well, that might have been a mistake for you. So, separating money from the state is a core tenet of Bitcoin's ethos. a permissionless network where the individual is in full control and accountable for his own property. Bull Bitcoin, Canada's most trusted exchange since 2013, is built around this ethos and leverages it in its mission to end central banks forever. At Bull Bitcoin, where security and privacy are priority, they take it upon themselves to help empower individuals with the most potent form of money the world has ever known. Head to mission.bullbitcoin.com/LCC today and get started with your account's creation. Contact Bull's best in the business customer support team at any point throughout the process to request assistance. That's mission.bullbitcoin.com/LCC. So as you've already said, our world is full of sick and evil people that want to engage in sexual activities with children, and they want to see children be more and more involved in sexual situations, such as drag shows. The idea of having 12-year-old boys strip dance and do drag shows in front of men is gross, it's perverse, and they should all be arrested. They should all be arrested. And, I mean, perhaps they should be on the receiving end of some sort of stronger punishment than just being put in taxpayer-funded prison for 10 years. Anyways, these demons can't just get what they want, though, right? They can't just flip a switch and say, let's have sex with kids. It's still against the law for now, right? Mm-hmm. But certainly the UN's going to try to do something about that. What they have to do is they have to change the cultural norms, to normalize their agenda. Now, many people think that we're just crazy Christian fundamentalists and that we have been for a while. So what I want is behold Exhibit A and tell me, would this have been a thing in terms of mainstream exposure and acceptance just a mere 10 years ago?
As teenagers, you're always thinking, I'm so fat.
There have definitely been times I've looked in the mirror and hated what I see.
This is a baby step to becoming more accepting of who you are.
Being naked is not a bad thing at all.
Zero, please. Educate!
I think it's time that we see what real male bodies look like.
Whoa. Naked men.
Do you know what? Your happiness shouldn't be reliant on whether you have this perfect shape.
A groundbreaking new series, Naked Education.
So
I can't, like,
well, okay, Andrew, I want to step in here because this is the play that I want to.
It hurts my brain.
This is so absurd, but this isn't really important for people to understand because the threefold play that's laid out in After the Ball is as follows: desensitization. So, right, that you desensitize somebody to seeing something transgressive or subversive, and then that leads naturally to normalization. Once people are desensitized, their hackles don't go up when they see some sort of deviant sexual behavior or coupling on television or what have you. That allows you to normalize that behavior. Then the push ultimately is to conversion. So what you're seeing here is the perfect blend or perfect, I guess, move towards desensitization, because what are we seeing? We're seeing, okay, we're going to show teen women, adult males who are naked.
Yeah. All in the name of body positivity,
yes,
I'm sure.
And education. Yeah. So that's how you desensitize. You desensitize them by exposing these young teen girls to the naked bodies of men. And then you say, this is how you normalize it. This is education. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, the line has gone when it comes to pornography, which used to be seen as a sexual deviant practice. Now it seems as normative. What do you hear when girls or guys who are in their teens, what are they saying? Well, they try and justify their use of pornography as educational practice. So that's now becoming normative. It's becoming something that is not only not deviant, it's actually a positive good, right? Because I'm educating myself. Yeah, right. And then what is that going to do? It's going to lead to the conversion of these people that are saying, hey, looking at naked bodies of older men and women, if for educational purposes, this is something that's totally normal. This is something that's totally good. And what does that lead to? The desensitization of individuals who are, you know, teens who are looking at naked older people. And what is that open
up? That had the right response, which is, oh, no, that's the right response.
Yes.
And they want to try to break that down.
Absolutely.
They want to try to break that down. So this comes to us from the Western Standard. Mm-hmm. I want to, so you can make sense of what you just saw. And if you're listening, it's basically a bunch of naked adults exposing themselves in front of children to say, oh, it's normal. Okay, so Channel 4 in the UK launched Naked Education on Tuesday, April 4th. During the program, children as young as 14 are exposed to strangers' naked bodies and learn about the differences between individuals. The show comes from the producers of Naked Attraction. This is another show where strangers choose a date after seeing their counterparts in the flesh. Channel 4 claims the program is all about body positivity, where three presenters go on a mission to normalize all body types. Yeah, they're normalizing something, and it's not body types. Continue to champion our differences and break down stereotypes. Yeah, stereotype, like you shouldn't have naked adults in front of kids, period. It just, you know, like that stereotype. Later in the 6-episode series, here we go, teenagers will meet two transgender men, both fully naked, at different stages of their transition.
Normalization.
There you go.
Desensitization, normalization, and ultimately conversion. And listen, when I say conversion, people have to understand, if you just look at a graph of how people are identifying with these weird deviant sexual identities, it's growing like 100-fold over our generations, right? This is a social contagion that is not a biological norm and reality like so many people of the LGBT community would have suggested, right? Because that's how they normalize things. They said, we're born this way. This is just a natural occurring proclivity that we see naturally arising in nature, as though that makes it a good thing. Obviously, as Christians who believe in creation, fall, redemption, we understand that even natural desires and proclivities are not necessarily good because they're natural, because the natural man is sinful and depraved.
Some Christians, well, except for TGC and Revoice and all the other events, they don't understand it.
Well, you know, it's funny Christians you bring that up about like the, Christians.
I remember reading a LifeSite news article not that long ago where they were saying that the most watched porn on Pornhub is like violent, like physically abusive type of super, super hardcore stuff.
Yeah.
That's what people are watching more than anything else, which
choking
gets
is,
to your point. This idea that it's let's just – that people – in their sinfulness are drawn to the strongest, the most evil of the things. So let's Matt, why don't you help us educate us a little bit more on how we're seeing this things that are supposed to make us cover our eyes in disgust and go, oh, this is just kind of normal.
Well, so on the trans thing, the underlying philosophy of transness is that you can, based off of the inner subjective feelings, you can change your body or socially change how you present yourself based off of your subjective whims and preferences, and that ought to be completely societally accepted and normalized in our society. So if you apply that logic, why would it just be in how you express yourself in a gender? Why not, Andrew, how you express yourself in other areas? And while we're on the topic of normalization, this is a crazy story that we have to bring you. Have you heard, dear listeners and viewers, of age play? If you function in the range of normalcy, probably not, because you probably have kids and you're worried about getting in the hockey practice in school and you're just living your life. You're going to church on the Lord's Day. That's what you're worried about. But this comes to us from ageplay101.com. At its core, age play is a form of role play and or power exchange between consenting adults, right? It's okay because they're consenting adults, right? That's the standard the UN's told us is fine. Consenting adults in which the participants play as an age different than their biological age. Age play can take many different forms and can include a wide range of activities, from dressing up in baby clothes to playing with toys and stuffed animals. Some age players may engage in... Okay. This took a dark turn. BDSM activities. While others may focus more on the nurturing and caring aspects of the dynamic. If you think this is nuts and can't possibly be a thing, you would be correct, but you would not be correct about it possibly being a thing because we have video evidence that it is indeed. If you have children with you, you maybe want to just take him out of the room. Here you go.
I just have to worry about things that children worry about.
So usually I'd make feel something fresh, like a blended bacon sandwich. But it's hard when it's like this, so I'm just doing this for now. I actually enjoy running around after Phil. We've never had kids of our own, and we don't plan to. So it's kind of like being a parent, but without the pain of giving birth.
I personally think that age play adds a whole new dimension to our relationship. It makes us stronger. We love each other more. We bond together. I just hope that people can leave us to live our lives the way we want to live them, without judgment.
Oh yeah, where have I heard that? Like, I want to swear, Matt. I want to swear. Where have I heard that feces before? Huh?
Okay.
Where have I heard that kind of dung language before? We just want to be accepted.
Andrew.
Cow manure.
I'm glad you pointed that out because that is the exact same logic. So this age play I just showed you, how is this not the exact same logic that the trans community uses for the acceptability of men pretending to be women? It's the exact same logic. This is a deviant behavior. Ageplay101.com. Do you not understand how insane this is? Age players may engage in BDSM. Bondage and sadomasochistic sexual behavior with children? With people who are pretending to be children?
There's two sides to this, because on the one side, that man,
yes,
right? Like the one who pretends to be the child,
yeah,
is deeply, deeply
disturbed
and there's been some little bit of trauma, but probably a lot of sinful desires and evil thoughts that he is allowed to grow
into
something that's vile. But what I'm probably more worried about, the adult in the relationship that thinks that it's okay to treat this person and see them as a child, and for the exact reason you just brought up about the idea of the BDSM, because mm-hmm. it's not the adult that'll be there on the receiving end of it, because they're the adult. It'll mm-hmm. be the young person. Yeah. It's crazy.
No, it is crazy. And what are we supposed to understand within this age play is if somebody can identify as being a woman and they're actually a man and then should cut off their body parts and sterilize themselves, make themselves infertile, and, you know, go through that whole process because we're told that trans women are women, trans men are men. Are we to understand the next stage in age play is if men can pretend to be women, why can't old people pretend to be kids? And then if they're pretending to be kids, by that same logic, does that not mean they're actually kids? And if they're engaging in BDSM with their other partner, is that not the normalization of sex with kids?
So it becomes both now. So it's not just enough that you'll have a man in a woman's bathroom.
Yeah.
But now you'll have a man in a girl's bathroom. Why can't that be the case? So now it's both. It's I'm not. And this, we're seeing this with Dylan Mulvaney.
Mm-hmm. Right. He doesn't identify as a woman. He identifies as a girl. Right.
Yeah. So here is an adult man saying that he is a female child. Hello. Are you like, are you paying attention yet?
Yes.
Do you not understand what's going on in the world around you?
It's sick.
And
we ought to pass judgment on it. We ought to pass judgment on it because God holds us account for the way that we judge the way that we rightly judge. We ought to justify the innocent and condemn the guilty. We ought to justify good moral behavior as innocent and condemn moral perversity as evil and wicked. This is a way to subtly sear the conscience of everybody in society, and that's not a good thing, because
it is okay, and you better rejoice if they say that you are a bigot, Christian nationalist, Christo-fascist, white supremacist, trans, like when they throw all those your way, you need to say, well, praise God, because I'm trying to save children from being ushered into destruction. That is you wear those things like a badge of honor. So when the CBC is going to be releasing a hit piece on you and your organization, wink, wink, we have some stuff coming up soon. When the CBC is coming for you and they're calling you Christian Reconstructionists who are anti-LGBT and making disparaging remarks against the LGBT community, you wear that like a badge of honor, because here's what you're trying to do. Save children from being destroyed
absolutely
by these monsters.
And
I'd rather
be classified as a Christian Reconstructionist than a postmodern deconstructionist.
Man on the floor being fed by his wife, please.
Yeah, because literally deconstructionists are literally out to destroy that which is good, true, and beautiful, because ultimately they can't destroy God because God is, and it's impossible to get outside of the created order that he's created human beings to live in. So they perversely turn their targets at all other norms in God's created order. And though they're futile in destroying those realities, they nevertheless attempt to do it. And that's why we can't shrink back. The standard of moral judgment is not the subjective existential whims of individuals. Ethics and morality is a normative prescriptive practice, okay? There's three perspectives that involve all ethical judgments. There's the norm, which is the standard. There's the situational aspect, so that's how we apply that norm in various situations that come to us. And then there's the existential aspect. So you think of it as a triangle. That existential is the motive that ought to underlie those behaviors, okay? Without those, you can't make sense of ethics. So to try and reduce all ethical considerations to the existential whims and motives and feelings of human beings is to destroy ethics altogether. So what these people are calling for in sterilized language is the destruction of all moral norms. And that's why it's not good enough for us to just libertarian free will. Well, as long as it's not hurting anybody, we won't have these discussions. No, we have to have these discussions, because this is how we get to where we are.
Who cares if it happens in the bedroom? To which I would reply, that lie, if it happens in the bedroom, it's none of our business, is why we're cutting off boys' balls, okay?
Yes.
Can we just be really frank about it?
Mm-hmm.
It's why we're cutting off the breasts of 14-year-old girls. Mm-hmm. It is why we are giving them drugs that chemically castrate them. Mm-hmm. It is why we are advocating for adults having sex with children as a society. Mm-hmm. We are here precisely because not that long ago, people said, if it happens in the bedroom, who cares? Who cares? We should all care, because here's where we are. And the threads are there. The lines are there. It's clear as day. Subnote, you might be thinking, wait, the CBC, what's going on? Hit piece? There's more coming out. CBC's coming after us. They're going after the Ezra Institute. Don't worry. We're going to talk about CBC. We're going to have a special episode about this mouthpiece for the state.
Yeah, glad our taxpayer money's going to fund them.
So you might be thinking, huh? Spoiler alert, they're trying to come for us. I'm gonna wear that like a badge of honor.
Yeah.
And we're gonna talk about CBC for what they really are. But in any event, you might be thinking that woke politics and medical tyranny have destroyed the Canadian workplace. But did you know that some companies are standing up and just saying no? In just 1 year, over 2,000 companies have pledged to honor free speech and medical privacy at redballoon.work, and Red Balloon is in Canada. So, business owners, if you want to find top-tier values-aligned talent or want access to one-of-a-kind courses that help guide you to build an uncancelable pro-freedom workplace, sign up today at redballoon.work/LCC. Job seekers, if you're tired of skin-deep promotions and vaccine checkpoints and you want to find a courageous company that shares and protects your values, new jobs are waiting for you at redballoon.work/LCC. Again, that is redballoon.work/LCC. So how do we get here? Well, first you normalize sexual deviancy and you sexualize children, but that's not the end of the matter, right? That's the means to the end. Now, there's still another step, though. You can't just normalize these things and then say, okay, now let's have sex with kids. Mm-hmm. What you need to do is the middle goal is having children believing these sexual realities themselves, often through the indoctrination of their parents, who should be arrested.
That's the conversion step.
And never allowed to reproduce ever again, in my opinion. That's vile, but this is how it comes. So what we want to do is we want to show you what might be one of the most disturbing videos you've ever seen, certainly you've seen this year, a practice that is being celebrated around the world. And in Canada, if you oppose this, if you sit down with these parents and these kids and try to say, no, 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 you need to do the opposite, you might go to jail for it.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
On the 6th of March, we welcomed our beautiful twins into the world. A boy called Arlo and a girl called Emerald.
The first one they said was, this is a girl. I genuinely remember your face just like lighting up, like, this is amazing. And then the next one was on, this is a boy. It was like, jackpot, you know, one of each. This is the perfect combination here.
Yeah, look at daddy flipping.
So now they're 4 years old and they identify as two boys. The first time that I realized Stormy wanted to identify as male was about roughly 2.5, but it's not really, he said, I want to be a boy. He said, I am a boy. And that is the difference.
My name is Stormy and I'm 4 years old. I feel like a boy and I want to be a boy. Sometimes people call me girl.
Do they? How does that make you feel?
Sad.
I can't remember the exact moment it switched over, but there was that point where I thought, you know what, this isn't just a phase. This is not a little girl we're looking at here, it's a little boy. He started being unhappy with being dressed as a girl, so he started being unhappy with wearing dresses. Hair clips were a big no-no. Didn't like hair clips, didn't like the pigtail.
There you go, Andrew.
Put him in jail. What are you waiting for? There it is.
I wouldn't go that far.
There's the video evidence. Arrest those parents.
I mean, I
would go that far. That's child abuse. Well, that's child abuse. I mean, certainly,
it's the idea, because this is what
biblical
we're talking
law about. Says that it is biblical law says that you cannot have a man dressed up in women's clothing and vice versa. And here they are advocating for the clear breaking of God's law, and they're leading children to destruction. Put them in prison. Arrest them for that. That's child abuse. That's just my opinion. So let's.
Okay, let's
make sense of what's going on here.
Yeah.
Matthew Stubbings and his wife, Clara Janes, I don't really care where her last name is pronounced because she's a monster. She's not a human. She's a demon. They claim that they knew that their daughter was really a boy from as early as 2. Mr. Stubbings said that Stormy first started showing signs of gender dysphoria before she could even speak, which is crazy to suggest. She, and by the way, for the rest of this, as I'm reading through the article, I have manually changed the pronouns because all the articles say he, but it's not a boy, it's a girl. So I'm going to intentionally misgender this little girl because it's a girl, not a boy. So just, you might be confused. She, the little girl, was eager to wear boys' clothing like her twin Arlo and showed an interest in firefighters and police officers, which, okay, so my daughter has as well. Doesn't mean she's a boy. She was distressed by her pigtails, and her parents ended up having fairly grown-up chats with her about her gender identity. Right, because she was four, because she can handle that. Now six, this confused girl who's been psychologically abused by her parents has her own Instagram page. At six,
why?
This is what her bio reads. So this is what her bio reads. I'm Stormy. I'm a transgender boy with a message to share. So follow me, engage with me, and share my message. I'm also a kid, so check out my photos. That's not her Instagram account. That's the parents doing that. Did I say that these parents should be arrested? Did I say that already? Because they're simply using their child as both a social science experiment, but clearly now as a platform
for
their own political, social nonsense, potentially fame. They're not using their child to stand on their thing. And look how, look like it's.
So this is what we have to understand. Desensitization leads naturally to normalization. Then once things are normalized, that flips the cultural and social dynamic and the incentives, the moral structure and the incentives that are inherent in our society. So now it's, well, in Canada, I mean, it's, you can literally go to jail or be fined if you don't conform to gender affirming care. So now we're seeing, it's not only people are being socially transitioned, this behavior is not only normalized, but now we're seeing conversion, right? Now you can get more followers on Instagram. You can be socially celebrated. You can become famous for engaging, for converting to this community.
You'll become the face of Bud Light, Tampax, yeah,
right?
Olay.
Because you've pretended to be a girl for 365 days. You know, all these moral incentives are happening, but the dangerous part, Andrew, and this gets into what I just talked about in Bill C-4, is once the incentives are changed, once the incentive structures change, the normalizations take in place, the conversion has started happening and being celebrated, what are we seeing? We're not seeing an end there. We're seeing the implementation of punitive actions, yep, to censor and defame anyone who would speak out against it. So
parents too, parents of kids themselves, like Billboard Chris, for example.
Yes, exactly. So now we're seeing conversion, but that conversion is backed up with the threat of law, of legal violent coercion for anyone who would dissent. And so it's not only that we're now villainized, you know, held up as all sorts of slanderous names, you know, juxtaposed with Nazis and fascists, even though that's absolute nonsense. It's not only that.
They were the ones that experimented on human beings' bodies.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's not only slanderous and evil and wicked to slander people like that for speaking out against this. Now we actually have to punish them and squash any dissent. So that's the trajectory that we're going on. It's now forced conversion and shut up if you dissent. And that comes out to us, Andrew, in a story that is, I mean, it's shocking because it's shocking that we're here, but it's not surprising. So, Andrew, we live in a world, as we've talked about over and over again, where being a dissenting voice can be very dangerous. And in Canada, trying to convince people like the girl we just saw in the video that she is indeed a girl could get you thrown in jail, could get you fined. And in Durham, if you are a concerned parent, you are not even allowed to speak out against that evil. On April 17th, they discussed a revised bylaw. This is from the communication that was sent out to people. Questions will also not be entertained if they are contrary to the board's commitment to the Ontario Human Rights Code or the board's human rights policy or Indigenous education policies or procedures. This will prohibit parents from asking questions about the following: gender identity education in schools, sexual orientation education in schools, gender neutral washroom / change room, mixed gendered sports, sexually explicit books in DDSB's libraries, age appropriate literary themes in DDSB libraries, secret gender transition at DDSB schools. Andrew, that's insanity. So now the school board somehow has declared themselves the arbiter of what's appropriate by Ontario law and what's actually appropriate in the Human Rights Code.
And what parents they're the are judges are not of allowed that to discuss at the Durham District School Board meetings. Only they can determine
so,
that.
And that now allows them to preemptively shut up any discussion about potential pornography in school, about mm-hmm. men and going to women's washrooms, about schools secretly transitioning schools. Parents aren't even allowed to talk about that anymore. But that's
well. They get
the trajectory
they get to email.
They
get to email the school board to raise their concerns.
Yeah, that's. But all. They don't yeah, actually, they get, as taxpayer funding funders of that institution, right? Essentially, these people are the servants. They ought to be in the way that representative democracy is supposed to work. They ought to be the representative of the parents, and they ought to be listening to the parents, but. Now we're in the position that these people, these technocrats, these bureaucrats, they think it is their job to disabuse children from parents' innate prejudices. Therefore, they get to groom, based on their ideological convictions, all the children within their districts without having parental say in the process. This is how we get to where we are when people shut up their mouths and don't say anything, when people don't have a proper perspective on ethics, on ethical behavior, and when people buy into the idea that the worst thing in society to be is someone who has a moral judgment.
When churches say, well, this is not the hill to die on, we need to maintain our social capital. Yeah. We don't want to be seen as unloving.
How much is that social capital worth? How much is that social capital worth? It doesn't get you anything because they still hate you. And it's just led to the mutilation of children after children after children. And now we're seeing the grooming, the intentional grooming of children into deviant sexual lifestyles that's protected by law. And any dissenting voice is now shut up by school districts. That's what that social capital has got you. We have to realize that we are in a spiritual war and we need to wake up to that reality. And we're not warring against a benign opponent that just wants to, you know, elucidate a different worldview in the public square. We're warring against an active death cult that is seeking to destroy children. That is why we have to speak up and speak up. Because I'm going to share it again. If none of our listeners read through the article, it's not that long. It's about a 20-minute read. It's on drag pedagogy, the playful practice of, you know, essentially... What is the subtitle here? Sorry, I can't see it. I want to get it so then everybody can see. So this will be in the description below. The playful practice of queer imagination in early childhood. So this is from the conclusion of that article. And I just want to point you to the fact that if you think we're being too bombastic by saying they're trying to groom your children into alternative lifestyles. I want to show you what they say in their own literature. It may be that DQSH, that's Drag Queen Story Hour, is family friendly, quote unquote, in the sense that it is accessible and inviting to families with children. But, so this is the hinge that swings the argument. So they're using that terminology to say, bring your children to this, what's been seen as a sex show for a lot of times. Socially subversive, just perverse. But it is less a sensitizing or sanitizing force, sanitizing that behavior, pardon me, than it is a preparatory introduction to, get this, alternative modes of kinship. Here, DQSH is family friendly, quote unquote, in the sense of family as an old school queer code to identify and connect with other queers on the street. So not only are they disabusing parents of their parental rights, they want to, they're using Drake's Dream Story Hour in a Marxist way to create generative themes so that they can discuss sex with children and all these sexual behaviors with children so that they can engender alternative modes of kinship so they can create new families and introduce children to new families that are not their parents' family. This is happening at the same time that parental rights are being attacked. Do you not see the play? Come on, we need to wake up. This is serious stuff. And the lives of children are at stake in this grooming behavior. This is from their literature. It'll be in the link in the description below. You need to read it.
So, like I said earlier, they're coming for our kids because they can't make their own kids.
Yes.
They can't reproduce their own kids, so they need to recruit our children. Mm-hmm. But number two, they hate life because Satan is their master and he's a father of lies and a murderer from the beginning, and they do his bidding, which means they will be liars and murderers. This is a death cult. Let's murder kids before they're born. Let's murder them right after they're born if they have a physical disability. Let's require them to be eligible for doctor-assisted murder if they're a kid and they have some sort of disability. Let's castrate them. Let's cut off their penis and their testicles. Let's cut off their breasts. Let's totally change their reproductive system when they're a child. Let's encourage them to embrace a kind of sexuality that won't allow for reproduction. Let's completely damage them psychologically so that they'll be unable to engage in any sort of healthy marriage and have kids of their own someday. Well, why the whole push? Death cult. Let's kill kids before they're born. Let's kill kids after they're born. Let's do things that will lead to kids killing themselves because of the mental damage that we do to them. And also let's remove their ability to reproduce themselves. So they're coming for our kids because they can't have their own, but they're also pushing their death cult agenda by destroying kids at what will soon be their prime reproductive life-giving age. This is what they're doing. So we normalize it, we sexualize it, we get them to buy into it.
And they're going to back it up with law.
And then here's the other play. They're going to back it up with law. They're going to punish you. Oh, and by the way, they also want to have sex with your kids. They want to have sex with your kids because they're disgusting, vile, expletive.
Now we have to be careful. Okay.
I'm careful. That was careful.
Yes, we're not saying that everybody engaged in this is
correct.
Is wanting to be a pedophile or want?
We're
wanting
saying
to
that the demonic
kids.
Spirit behind it is also pushing that.
And certainly, what is it doing? Yeah. It's leading to the diminishment of legal protections for children. It's leading to a culture where sexual deviant, subversive behavior is not only okay, but celebrated and is the norm. And that is going to lead to potentially opening up to the fact that that type of behavior that we're talking about is going to be normalized and sanitized, like with the term MAPS, right? Minor attracted persons syndrome is what they call it, which is pedophilia, right? It's kids, it's adults that want to have sex with kids. That's what we understood it in the past. It's pedophilia. It's a destructive and evil behavior, but It's also a behavior that, based off of this demonic new death cult religion that is really rooted in old pagan ideas, we've seen this type of behavior promoted before. Pederasty was very common in many pagan societies. The only reason that we now see it for what it is, and even men in jail think based off their own codes in jail, go after people who are pedophiles because that's so disgusting. You have Christians to think about that, because it was a Christian sexual ethic that protected children, and it also protected women, because it didn't allow for women to be just used in sexual situation, like people who are being exploited for what they can give you. But it says that sex is only appropriate within the confines of covenantal monogamous union of marriage that is God ordained and good for the flourishing of individuals and societies. And it's that foundation. So it protects women and children, and it harnesses men's more aggressive, self-centered tendencies towards commitment and monogamy and defense and protection and production. These are all things that you get with the Christian worldview. The alternative is a radical death cult that opens the way to pederasty, pedophilia, and all sorts of sexual chaos. And that's what you have to understand, dear listeners. Today, decide who you are going to serve, Christ or chaos, life in Christ or death and destruction with this new death cult. It's not whether, it's which. You have to make that decision.
So let me say some things that maybe you've never heard me say them before. Maybe this is the first time you're hearing me say these things. Why are your kids still in state-funded Marxist indoctrination re-education schools? What are they doing there? Like, what are you doing? If your kids, especially if they're in elementary school, especially if they're 13 or under, what are your kids doing in government schools? Get them out. Get them out. Do you understand? Public school libraries are full of vile pornographic material, and this agenda is being pushed on your kids. There's no way that a couple hours after school and after dinner, when you're exhausted after a long day's work, you're going to be able to undo all this indoctrination. You're a fool if you think that. Don't you understand that? Respectfully, you are a fool if you think that you're going to be able to stave off this kind of normalization and sexualization. What are your kids still doing in public schools, in state-funded schools? Get them out. Get them out now. Make plans to launch big with a whatever it is you're going to do in the fall. Okay, but homeschooling may not be an option. Okay, there are really, really great classical Christian schools. There's a handful of them around the country. Yeah, but I don't live there. Okay, time to move. It's time to move, friends. Oh, but I love this place and the location's great and the Houghton, blah, blah, blah. Listen, we're talking about your kids here. It's time to move. It's time to relocate. It's time to find a church that is solid, that has a spine, that will speak out against this globalist, Marxist, radical, rainbow mafia beast agenda, that is probably connected to a classical Christian school that can help to educate your kids. It's time to move. It's time to downgrade maybe your vehicle, maybe the size of your house, and move where you will be in a solid, like-minded community. And then you need to also be involved in actively educating your kids in the beauties and glories of God's design for sexuality, celebrating your sons for being boys, your girls, your daughters for being girls, and all that that means, God's design for marriage and sexuality, rejoicing in the distinctives, rejoicing in how they complement one another in this beautiful picture of marriage that God has given us to communicate the glorious picture of our Savior and his bride, the church. So
yeah.
Get your kids out of government funded schools.
That's so important.
Move wherever you need to move. Move wherever you need to move to find a good church and a good school, and continue to begin teaching your kids the glories of marriage and sexuality as a picture given by God.
And that's so important. That last point is so, so very important, because what we're seeing is the perversity that's unleashed in a culture with no normative perspective on who human beings are and how they were created in the image of God with dignity and what that actually means, the beauty of that. And we need to be able to, because there's lack of a normal normative principle in our society that's led to all sorts of chaos, we need to do the exact opposite if we want the opposite effect in our lives and our relationships and the lives of our children. Is we need to preach that normative perspective and get them to love that standard, right? Our goal is not to get children to obey the standards that we set before them, but to love the standard, because ultimately the standard that we're setting before them ought to be the rule of faith in Christ. So they ought to love that standard because Christ is their perfect representative. He's the perfect human being, and we ought to teach our children to love that standard. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. We know it's a hard program given the content, but we hope that this, you are enthused by the fact that the lines are becoming ever more clear. The spiritual battle is evident now. So we got to stop sitting on the sideline, and we have to start making actual tangible moves in our lives, given the fact that they're showing us their hand, they're tipping our hats, they're showing us the play. Let us take them at their word, and let us do what the Lord calls us to do in our lives. So thank you so much. Galatians 5:1. See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to Liberty Dispatch, a united front to restore liberty and justice in Canada. Please subscribe to our podcast and Rumble channel, as well as visit our website at www.libertycoalitioncanada.com.
Friends, we're posting new content multiple times every week throughout our various shows on this channel. So you're going to want to subscribe to it and hit that notification bell. That way you stay up to date with everything that we're releasing here with the Liberty Coalition Canada.